The Lord has been laying a song on my heart since the beginning of the week. I'm trading my sorrow. And I just want us to sing that. We're not going to waste too much time on it, but I just want to sing it, you know, believing God for this one. Because we are speaking the prophetic into our situation. I just want to sing. I haven't got... yes.
I'm trading my sorrow.
Christ, the Messiah, our righteousness. I give God the praise, give him all the glory today. Father, be glorified today. The entrance of your word brings life, Father. It gives understanding to the simple, Father. Let your word bring understanding to us and light into our situation right now as we come before your word. We give you thanks, we give you praise, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The title of today's message is coming from the song that we have just sang. Blessed be the curse. Praise the Lord today. It's amazing the way the service has gone on today and the way the pastor spoke. You know, the way our Brother Murray has spoken as well. I just have something within my spirit that the Lord is trying to release us from every oppression of the enemy. That's where he has, you know, brought us here today. Praise the Lord. And there are things that are pressing us down without a doubt. And some of these are not coming from the Lord himself. Some of these are coming from the evil one. The same evil one that appeared unto Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's still at work. He's still at work, and we need to be very mindful of that. The Bible says we should be mindful. We should not be unmindful of the devices of the enemy. So we should not live in ignorance concerning what the evil one is doing in situations all around us. Praise the Lord. Shall we just look into today's Bible reading? And we'll take it off from there. Praise the Lord this morning. Let redeemed say amen.
Amen.
Amen in the house. We give God thanks for another day. Ephesians, very quickly. We're going to the book of Ephesians. 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, praise God. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Amen. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise the Lord. I'll read that again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that the Shekinah glory of the Lord is in the house. Hallelujah, this morning. Let them say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are we tired?
No.
We are not tired to be in the house of the Lord. The Lord is blessing us, and we should be grateful to him to be in his presence. Brethren, I know that we are under pressure, even as I spoke earlier on. And the enemy is at work in diverse situations. And in these end times, the evil one is released to cause torment in the world. And we should be very, very mindful of that. And he has agents all over the place that are causing trouble for the brethren. And we need to be very, very mindful of that. I just wanted to look at the meaning of blessing and curse for us to situate ourselves within the message that we're about to hear. I know that we understand blessing, we understand God, but I think we just wanted to put it in context so that we understand what we're saying. I took this from Wikipedia, and I find it quite interesting. Blessing is to be blessed, which means to be favored by God, the source of all blessings. Blessings, therefore, are directly associated with and are believed to come from God. Thus, to express a blessing is like bestowing a wish on someone that they experience the favor of God and to acknowledge God as the source of all blessing. Praise God. And the other side of the coin as well is the curse. A curse is that any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune will befall or attach to some other entity, one or more persons, a place, or an object. In particular, curse may refer to such a wish or pronouncement made effective by supernatural or spiritual power, such as a god or gods, a spirit, or a natural force, or else as a kind of spell by magic or witchcraft. In the latter sense, a curse can also be called a hex or a jinx. In many belief systems, the curse itself or accompanying spiritual is considered to have some causative force in the result. It means that if there is a curse being pronounced on somebody, there's likely to be an effect of that curse. The curse is the word itself. But the result of it are the things that come against us when we're trying to push forward. That thing is pushing us backward. And sometimes we, as Christians, we're ignorant of that. Because we are under the belief that we believe in Jesus, and nothing can come unto us. Absolutely, yes, nothing can come unto us because we're in Christ Jesus. But we need to know that some of those things that come to us, even as Jesus Christ himself has declared, some of them will not go away unless by fasting and by prayer. There is war that we are fighting, even though we are not fighting this war, through carnal means. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal. We need to understand that. But we are in the battlefront. We need to be very, very aware of that. It's not sufficient for us to come here on a Sunday, receive the message and go home and feel that everything is going to be goody-goody. I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. The Bible tells us we should not be unmindful of the devices of the enemy. Actually, the Apostle Peter tells us that the enemy is moving to and fro like a roaring lion. Roaring lion. Roaring lion. Seeking whom he might devour. He's moving, he's very busy. And because he's busy, we cannot stand around as if nothing is going on. We need to arise. We need to challenge the enemy. I say, not anymore. We're not taking this from you. What you have taken from us is so much already. We're taking the ground back from you. I am angry, and I'm also excited. I'm angry because the evil one is causing so much havoc in our midst. And Christians are all over the place, and people look at us. They don't want to come to God when they see us sometimes. It's like, what is going on with these people? If your God is like that, I don't want to come to him. If we claim that we are the children of the king, and our situation has not changed, there is a problem, brethren. There is a problem. It's not possible for Charles, Prince Charles, to go on the bus. It's not possible. And I'm not saying that all of us are going to ride in limousines. I'm not saying that we're going to come here, you know, in Jaguar, or whatever else you want to call it. But surely, we should be moving in victory. We should be moving in victory, brethren, in the name of Jesus. And today, the Lord is saying to us, there might be a curse that we need to come against. There might be a curse that we need to come against. Now, the genesis of curse, we know that it came from Genesis. That was where curse came from. When Adam and Eve messed up, God cursed them. He cursed them and he cursed the land upon which they stood. Because they misbehave. And sometimes because we misbehave, God pronounces a curse. But glory be to God because God is so merciful. When we fast forward from Adam, we go into Abraham. And God appeared differently in that place. God called Abraham from idolatry and said to him he was going to bless him. And God not only blessed him, bless his descendants after him. And those who believe in his descendant, even Christ Jesus, God promised to bless them. And we are, by faith, been adopted into the beloved, even as we have read today. And because of that, anyone who cursed Abraham was deemed cursed. And because we have become part of the beloved, anyone who curses us is cursed as well. Brethren, we need to understand that. And we need to take it. We need to change the land by force. The Bible declares that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violence took it by force. We are taking it by force. We are taking it by force. We are taking it by force. In the name of Jesus. No more. And I declare today, no more. I am really angry about this. We need to take back everything that belongs unto us. We are not giving any inch of ground anymore. Not concerning ourselves, not concerning our nation, not concerning our family. We are not giving any more inch for the enemy to rule over us. We come against the powers of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. You see, brethren, sometimes Christians, as Christians, we sometimes assume that to be downtrodden is humility. It's not. I'm afraid it's not. Sometimes we feel that it's the will of God for us to be in that terrible place. And that's the will of God for us. It's because the Bible says, you know, in all things, give me thanks, because that's the will of God concerning you. It depends on how you interpret that. My understanding of that text is the will of God for you to thank him in all situations. But it's not the will of God for you to thank him for your mess. No, that's not what God, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what I believe. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God. The will of God is give thanks. But it's not necessarily the will of God that you're in a mess. So Christians should not use that as an excuse to remain in poverty, to remain in a mess, to say, well, it's the will of God for me to be there. Are you sure? Are you sure your mess will glorify God? Will people see you, will your community people see you and say, hang on a minute, let me know that God that you're worshiping. Your poverty cannot glorify God. So it's not his will. It's not his will for you to be in that mess that you are in. The Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper in health, even as your soul prospereth. We know the will of God concerning us. That is his will concerning us. That the thoughts that I have towards you are of good or no evil, to prosper you, to give you an expected end. That is the will of God concerning us. The will of God is not for the enemy to rise above us. The will of God is for us to rise above the enemy, because Jesus has already paid the price for us. Amen. Let the room say amen.
Amen.
In the book of Ezekiel 37, we saw the power of God moving in a very wonderful situation. God took Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones. And God challenged him. Son of man, can these bones live again?
Yeah.
Quite naturally, Ezekiel answered, God, you know. I don't know. God wanted Ezekiel to be part of that work that he wanted to do. God could have said, dragon, get up and live again. God said to Ezekiel, speak to the bones. The Lord is challenging us today to speak into our situations. Speak to the bones. And the Bible tells me that Ezekiel obeyed the word of the Lord. And life came back to dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, these dry bones are my people who have been downtrodden by the enemy. And the Lord has come to deliver them so that they will live again, so that they will inherit their inheritance in him. That same God that appeared to Ezekiel concerning his people, we are his people because we have been adopted into the beloved. The Lord is saying today concerning your dry bones that these dry bones will live again. And I speak concerning dry bones today. Live again. In the name of Jesus. I said, live again, dry bones. Dry bones, live again. In the name of Jesus, I declare that today. Concerning your marriages, I declare concerning dry bones. Live again. In the name of Jesus. We want to glorify the name of our God in this tabernacle. We are not contented where we are today. We want to move on. We want to move on. We want the glory of the Lord to come into our midst and show his power. The Bible declares that the earth and the fullness thereof belong unto our God. Where is the evidence? In our lives. How can we truly say to them out there that we are the children of the King? How can we really say that? How can we say that our Father owned everything? And here we are, living from paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes this is because of the enemy. Because of the enemy. The parable of the sower. Jesus gave the parable of the sower. The parable of the weed. And we saw how the farmer planted. Good plant. And the enemy came in the dead of the night and planted weed among that. The enemy came in the middle of the night to plant weed and thorns. Brethren, when I was looking through this message again, swinging about it, the enemy is not against the plant. No. The enemy is against the planter. He has no business with the plant. But he has a business with the planter. The enemy is against the farmer, not the plant. Because the enemy is aware that if the farmer has a good harvest, his circumstances will change. And he doesn't want that. So he came in the middle of the night to plant weed, to choke. But when the plants are growing, they will not be able to grow fully. So the planter will not be able to have a good harvest. The enemy doesn't want us to have joy. That's why he comes in the night to plant thorns and weed among the good plants. So that when the farmer goes there to harvest, there's no joy in him. His joy is half measure. But that was what he was expecting. He was expecting a bountiful harvest. But here he was. Because of the enemy. The curse of the enemy. He could not have a good harvest. Today, the good harvest is coming.
Amen.
And we declare that today, the good harvest is coming. Speak it. Speak it into your situation. We are not agreeing to what the enemy is doing anymore. We say no more. We say no more. We say no more. We say no more. Head bowed down is not humility. Pain and anguish is not humility. It's not humility because when we come here, we are not able to praise the name of the Lord. When we are oppressed, we are not able to praise the name of the Lord, brethren. Some people have departed from faith because of the oppression of the enemy. That's the fact. So how can God be glorified in our mess? He cannot take the glory. I want to be able to come forward in the blessings of our God and be proud of it.
Yeah, right.
I want to be able to show off that the Lord has blessed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Not being cocky, but being grateful to what God has done for me.
Yeah.
I want to be able to drive the best cars in the world. Why not? Because if you have planted, you want a good harvest.
That's right.
If you have planted, you want a good harvest. If you have worked hard, and you have trusted in the Lord, you should be able to have your reward for it. Why not? I should be able to go out there to bless the name of God, let people look at you and say, we want to know that God that you serve.
That's
when the name of the Lord will be glorified. The name of the Lord will not be glorified when we are in tattered jeans. We are not glorifying God like that. That's not humility. When we console ourselves and say, well, I give that all up for heaven. Really? You're still here, right? You're not there yet. Why are you giving it all up? God created everything. He made it beautiful. For your benefit, for my benefit. Why are you giving it to them? I say, you're giving everything up for heaven. It's got nothing to do with it. The fact that you have the blessings of God on earth does not deny you the blessings of God in heaven. It doesn't. It does not deny you anything. So if you choose to deny yourself of that which God has provided for us already, it is your cup of tea. But I want us to put ourselves in a place where people will look at us and glorify the name of our God. That is my passion. I want people to see me from a distance. There is something peculiar about this one. There is something different about this one. Not only in the fruit that they see in me, in my character, but also in the way the Lord has blessed me. And when they see that, they see my fruit. The fruit of the God that I speak about. They know that I'm different from these ones. And they also see the blessings of the Lord upon my life. Without me preaching through them, they will be interested in getting to know the God that I serve. Amen. And today, the Lord is saying, He has come to bless. He has come to remove the curse of the enemy from every situation that we have found ourselves in. In the name of Jesus. In the book of Numbers, we also saw an encounter when the enemy arose in form of Balak. And he decided that he was going to curse the people of the Lord. The people have just moved over from Egypt. And the Lord was on his way to blessing them. He had already blessed them. And here we see the mercy and the grace of our God. They were the same people who messed up down the line. They did not trust God enough. Because God has pronounced the blessing upon Abraham. And he has declared that concerning his descendants, he was going to bless them. God had blessed them anyway. Even when they messed up along the way coming into the wilderness, the blessing of God was still upon their lives. And here he was, Balak, being so fearful and afraid of these people and jealous of them. He decided that he was going to curse them. But that was not the will of God concerning them. Praise the Lord. God knows all things. With all the enticement that came via the way of Balaam, sometimes I just wonder, what was he thinking? God had already told him, how blessed are these people? You can't curse them. He was just saying, stay this way, let me go and consult God again. Okay, let me go and consult God again. What was he thinking? Sometimes this, the same way we behave as well, God has given us an instruction. And we begin to second guess God about what he has told us. We want to do our own thing. Balaam wanted to do his own thing. And God challenged him concerning the dumb ass. If not for that, he will have lost his life. But ultimately, what does it matter here? What matters to me is that ultimately, God has the ultimate power. And eventually, Balaam declared unto Balak, I cannot curse these people because the Lord has blessed them. And whom the Lord has blessed, I cannot curse. Anyone that curses, they are cursed already. And I declare that today, if the enemy come to us to curse, because we are blessed, because we are been adopted into the beloved as descendant of Abraham. Anyone who come across us to curse us, we pronounce a curse on them. That's what the word of the Lord says. They are cursed already. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Brethren, like I said, I'm very, very mindful of time, but there's so much that we need to look at concerning what the Lord is telling us. We want to be able to rise above the curse of the enemy. And the only way we're able to rise above the curse of the enemy is to make sure that we have a relationship with our God through Christ Jesus. The one who hung on the tree for us. The one who became cursed so that the curse upon us will be removed. We need to have that relationship with our God through Christ Jesus. And when we are solidly in Him, nothing can shake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of our God if we are anchored in Him. Elder Murray was speaking earlier concerning the one who built his house upon sand, and the other one built his house upon the rock. The rock, when all the tempest came, the one who built his house upon the rock was the one that survived. And so we need to build our house upon the rock, the solid foundation. Yeah. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And because of Him, He has removed the curse from us because He hung on the tree for us. The Bible declares that the Lord Jesus was revealed so that He might destroy every work of darkness. And He has given us that same power that the Lord, His Father, gave Him. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Amen. Concerning every enemy, the curse of the enemy, they should bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. That's what we believe. We need to make ourselves firmly rooted in this anchor of the Lord. Say, behold, I give you power to trample upon scorpion, upon serpent, and over every work of darkness. Nothing shall bow enemies. That's right. The Lord is declaring today that the curse of the enemy does not have any hold upon us if we are firmly rooted in Him. We are blessed beyond the curse. We are blessed beyond the curse. We are blessed beyond the curse. If there's anything you're taking away from this message today, I want you to go home rejoicing that we are blessed beyond the curse. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, He bore the curse for us on Calvary. So we are blessed beyond the curse in the name of Jesus. Broken marriages, we are blessed beyond that. We need to begin to repair those broken marriages. The curse of the enemy concerning broken marriages. Unfulfilled promises. We need to begin to remove the curse. So many years ago, we had a brother that we used to have fellowship together. And they were looking for a third child. And each time the wife became pregnant, they lost the baby. And this went on for a very long time. Until through prophetic ministration, my wife will remember this, the Lord ministered to us that family had already been sold. There was a curse on that family. There was an agreement in that family that they would not have a third child. No one of them would have a third son. And the Lord, by His mercy, through prophetic utterance, the Lord made us to reenact what happened that day. Exactly what happened that day, the Lord revealed to us. And we had to go back to the same process that it went through, and we gave back to the enemy.
That's right.
The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We didn't give any money.
No.
We gave the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell you, brethren, that year did not pass. That year did not pass. The chain, the curse of the enemy, was broken in the life of that brother.
Amen.
They had another son.
Amen.
They had another son. There are situations where you find marriages breaking down from generation to generation. And we need to be very, very mindful of that. We cannot say because we are Christians, these things will not happen. These things do happen if we are not mindful of that. I had a friend who got married into a wrong family. We didn't realize that at that time. 1 year within that marriage, God blessed her with twins. She asked for a divorce. The mother was pressing for it. We didn't know what was going on. Until much later, we realized that all the women in that family, they returned back to their father's house.
Wow.
Including the mother. There is something going on there. We're not blind. We can see that. All the women returned back to their father's house. stay in their matrimonial home. We need to look at all this, the chain of events happening in our lives. What is really going on here? And we need to arise to the challenge. And say, no more. I'm drawing the line. Going forward, it's not happening anymore. It's not happening anymore. Going forward, no way. I'm not giving you an inch anymore. I'm not giving you any inch anymore. You've had enough already from previous generations. I'm not giving you any inch. Generational curses do occur. Let's be real about it. God himself said it in Exodus 20. And he will visit the iniquity of the father upon third and fourth generation. As a matter of fact. But thank be to the Lord Jesus. Thank be to the Lord Jesus who hung on the cross for us. And because of him, we have become overcomers of the curse of the enemy. But we need to tap into it. It's available, but we need to tap into it and take it. Take hold of it and declare that no more. This curse, end of it. This is the line. You're not crossing this anymore. You are not crossing this anymore. Just before I go, I want to declare today that even though tears have endured for the night, the Bible says joy comes in the morning. It's been a very long, drawn night of tears. Very long night of tears. I don't know how many years you've stayed in that situation. Been oppressed by the evil one. Joy. Joy. Joy beckons on you today. Joy beckons on you today. The joy beckons on you today. Tears may endure during the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I declare today, the morning of joy has come. Joy beckons. Joy beckons. Joy beckons on you today. Get hold of it. You're not here by accident, I tell you, brethren. The Lord wants to hear this message today. Joy is knocking on your door. Get hold of it. Get hold of it. And I declare that today. Get hold of it. There is anointing in the sanctuary. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Do not allow the Spirit of the Lord to pass you by. I don't know what your situation might be. Thank you, Brother Koda. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that is upon you. See, sometimes when I think about you, I remember what Bible says concerning the sons of Korah and the role they played in the ministry of David. And I just want you to stay in that ministry. The Lord is doing something in your life. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is on you to minister in that place where you are. And I just want you to remember that you have a role to play in the kingdom of the Lord as you usher in the presence of God and as you usher us into the throne of mercy. And if you don't mind, even as we, you know, I ask us to stand up, please. There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary, please.
Yes, sweet.
Yes, sweet.
Yeah.
Lord.
something that is going on in your life that is not really right, and you want the chain or the oppressor to be removed from your situation, and as I call upon the pastor of the house to come forward, please. And as you begin to think about your situation, even as you are praying in your heart concerning that situation that you are going through, the Lord is in the sanctuary right now to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed. The Lord is in the house right now. I just want you to identify yourself today. The Lord is in the house. The Spirit of the Lord is moving right now to break the curse of the enemy from your situation.
Yes, God.
The man of God will pray concerning that situation you're going through. You are not telling anybody about it. This is your conversation with your God. But the man of God will pray concerning that.